thinking this morning is process of devotional service is very sublime. Although being in this material world is not so sublime, as sometimes, because we're so involved in the material world, a little difficult to recognize how the process of devotional service is working. But it's working. And like Prahlad is describing the effects of the time energy gradually just grinding down all the accumulations of material so-called asset and accumulation, the process of devotional service doesn't grind down, but it gradually cleanses away the coverings of the jewel-like consciousness of the soul. Gradually. It doesn't have to be gradually, Prabhupada explained. To become Krishna conscious can take place in less than a moment. But we're attached. So we let go of those things that we're attached to very gradually. But if one stays, just like those of you that are coming, very faithfully, taking part in this process of hearing and chanting and serving and worshiping and remembering and associating, taking prasad, it's having its effect on the soul. And ever so gradually, that very wonderful sublime consciousness of the soul is being reawakened and restored in its natural glory. So, I was thinking that specifically in context with all these nice verses spoken by Prahlad, one after another. Very, very deep, very, very profound. And just like some of the devotees were saying, in this situation, it has very strong, very profound impact. And then we go out into the material energy and something else happens. But nonetheless, by continuing to go as deeply as possible into these messages, have them really impact on our consciousness, awaken our consciousness, restore that original Krishna consciousness. It has a very, very powerful effect, which, as Prahlad is saying, it's hard even to imagine that effect. Nonetheless, it's having, our imagination may not be able to capture it, but it's having an effect, very definite effect, that as life proceeds, and as we continue with that process, it's just amazing to see the transformation that takes place if we very sincerely take this process up. So there's like a regulated set of things that we do each day. Maybe we take them for granted. Maybe we don't take them so much for granted. But they're having an effect. So, just like this little exercise at the very beginning, I think it's valuable to recall to memory. This is the Shravanam Kirtanam. This is the Vishnu Smaranam exercise for the day. What were the instructions that we heard Prahlad giving yesterday so that we can appreciate how he's going to say what he's going to say today, how they connect? Part of our keeping up with the regulations of sadhana bhakti, remembering Prahlad's wonderful instructions. Yeah.
The Lord is neutral. He doesn't take sides. So whatever the position that humanity is having in this world is his own doing.
Mm.
Number two, Prahlad is himself feeling that he's not qualified to approach the Lord.
Not feeling qualified to approach the Lord. Go ahead.
In particular, he's referring to the blessings he received from Lord Narasimhadeva and his himself being touched by the lotus hands of Lord Narasimhadeva.
Yeah.
And then he concludes that the reason why he's been allowed that is because of the spiritual master, Narada's mercy. And therefore, although the Lord is ready to offer any benedictions upon Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't want that. He simply wants to be engaged in the service of Narada.
Okay. Any other points someone can volunteer here? Something that sticks out in your mind, prominent. Yeah.
Lakshmana gives the judgment that Lord, you appeared because just to protect your devotees, Lord.
Well, no, he gave. He was saying to the Lord, I know the reason. I've made my judgment. I've considered all the evidence very carefully. And my conclusion is the reason for your appearance is?
Just to protect your devotee's words.
Protect the devotee's words. Yeah, okay.
That is Narada Muni.
What was Narada Muni's words?
Narada Muni has benedicted. This child will be protected.
This child will be protected. And so, Rana Sringadeva was upholding those words of Narada. Just see. Okay. And he was, and secondarily, or additionally, he was upholding his own word, or his own nature of protecting his devotee. Very good. Any other thing you can recall?
You are elaborating on a number of points of how the Lord considers feeding the Brahmana as feeding himself. In fact, the Lord eats primarily when the Brahmanas eat, even more than when they eat. Offerings are made in the
he enjoys that eating more. And so how does that have bearing on this subject?
So when Narada is served properly, then the Lord will be even more pleased than direct service to him.
Right.
So in our devotional life, we should never consider, a devotee doesn't consider one who is in proper consciousness service to the Lord separate from service to the spiritual master.
Right. A light went on back there. What just happened? Go ahead. You remembered something? You forgot? I scared you? Huh? Shy. Okay. What did Prahlad say? There was a very... It's something that would be very nice to remember when you think back on Prahlad's prayers. What did he say specifically in his prayers about maintaining the association of Narada's service? What did he say?
Prahlad Raj was making the point that whatever today I have, it is because of the mercy of Narada Muni.
Right.
And by serving him, I will be trained more and more. And
yeah.
I want to serve Lord more and more. For that, I have to serve Narada Muni. From mercy only, I can gain more.
Right. That's our understanding from what he's saying. And what I'm looking for is, it's helpful, just like remembering shlokas. If you were reciting shlokas without the meaning, parrots can do that. But we should. When we're thinking of shlokas, it can, the shloka can bring to memory a whole series of understandings connected to that shloka. So what I'm trying to do here is similarly, what are the specific words that Prahlad speaks that are very nice. Flowing behind those words comes this understanding you just explained. Tava-britya-sevam, which means how could I give up the service of Narada? That's what he said. How can I give up his service of my spiritual master? How could I give it up? Do you want to speak it or you want to keep it? Okay. So, what Prahlad is going to express today, we're going to cover 30 through 33 in this chapter. So, this is participation time also, not just entertainment time. He's going to explain the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. Now, many of you know this philosophy, can explain it very, very well. Some have some idea. Some it's kind of... So, Prahlad is going to give a little exposition on it. So I'd like somebody, before we take this up, to give us a little summary. What is the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
The Chinta Beta Bhavita philosophy is that the Lord and the living entities, they are similar in quality, but in quantity the Lord is infinite and the living entities are infinite as well. So the similarity is in quality, in its original state, but in the conditioned state, the living entity is covered by Maya, or he recognizes himself with the material energy. So because of that false identity, he forgets his spiritual identity.
Okay. Anybody want to add something to that or elaborate? Yes.
Lord is very inconceivable for general people, and therefore he cannot be conceived, because the universe, as from the verses like in which it is said that everything is inside Lord and.
Okay. That's the achintya part. But beta. Abheda Tattva part, what is that?
Lord is simultaneously distinct from living entities are simultaneously distinct from the Lord as well as same, in the sense that they are having same qualities.
Okay, same. Yes?
Is the simultaneous oneness and difference of Lord and his energy?
Yeah, not just the living entities. Anything that exists, the living entities, that's one category of what exists. There's inferior energy that also exists. The superior energy that also exists. The living entity also exists. Even the expansions of the Lord, the original personality of Godhead, manifest various Vishnu Tattva expansions. They also exist. So all things that exist are simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Lord. That's what you wanted to add, right? Okay, so what I'll give a quick summary, I'll read the verses, and then we'll go into it a bit. One of the focuses that comes in what Prahlad is saying and what the commentary is elaborating on is it's very much like Madhvacharya's Dvaitavad. So it's the Beda part of the Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva. So the Beda part is seeing the distinctions. So are the varieties in this material world real? Yes. Where from do those varieties come? They come from a variegated supreme source. The source himself is also variegated. Otherwise, where do varieties come from? So those varieties that are in this world, they're real. That's Madhvacharya's primary precept, his primary doctrine. They're real. The differences are real. Now, the other side, the abheda part, is although they are real, they're different from one another, and they're also different from the Supreme. The energy, material energy, is different from the Supreme. Living entities are different from the Supreme. Panchabheda is the detail of Madhvacharya's doctrine. The differences between material energy and of one variety and another, they're real. The difference between material energy and a living entity, it's real. The real differences, five of them, five categories. While that's true, there is also an inseparable connection between those things which emanate and the varieties that they manifest with their source. And yet the source is unchanging, although manifesting varieties. So it'll be elaborated. And this is a very essential question. What does this have to do with Prahlad's prayers? Why is this coming up? It's not whimsical. It's in relation to the realm of devotional service. Prahlad is saying the way to cross over the ocean of this material difficulty is through the medium of devotional service. But to render devotional service, you have to use this body, which is composed of senses, and matter, which is inferior, and just like was explained, it covers the living entity's consciousness. So those things that cover our consciousness, we have to use them. That seems like it inherently has a problem, a fundamental problem. But so the super excellence of bhakti is that it restores the connectedness of those things to the Supreme. Aha! There's the abheda side being restored and illuminated and spiritualized, so that in fact through the medium of devotional service, the spiritualized connectedness of those things which are Veda distinct are restored to their non-distinct nature. So in the purport we're going to hear we're going to read it just even as Prabhupada gives it, but a clarification on an impersonal Mayavad conception of oneness and a Vaishnav conception of oneness. And they are different. They are different. And a Vaishnav does have a sense of oneness. But that conception of oneness is distinct. from the conception that an impersonalist has. So this will be discussed. And it's through this, so this descending mercy of the Lord coming through Narada and descending to the life of Prahlad and now speaking directly to the Lord. You are that one who this process of devotional service connects me to, and now I'm going to explain by Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy how it is so. How you can take one who is so unqualified as me and bring me to the highest position by this medium of devotional service, which Narada so kindly has given, has gifted to me. So that's the connection. And that's the summary. I'm going to read the four verses. Listen carefully. We'll go back and explore it a little bit. Starting with text 30, chapter 9. My dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation. For you existed before the creation, you exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. Text 31. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Cause, effect. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is none different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmic and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of, now there's two examples, so take note of them, and we're going to come back and discuss them. Two examples that Prahlad gives of the relationship between energy and energetic, the cosmos and the source of the cosmos. These two examples are the seed and the tree, and the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. We'll come back to this. This is the most dramatic part of the explanation here in the purport. Text 32. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation and the creative energy is kept in you who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, you remain in your transcendental status. Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, that's Mahavishnu, who lies in the Karana ocean, and from whom unlimited universes are coming from his body, maintained for some time, and then again enter back into his transcendental body in a subtle state. As Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. And final text 33. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. So there's Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, and then that which he manifests. So he's saying the manifestation of this material energy, that's also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potency, known as Kala Shakti. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. Of course, that particular manifestation is Garbhodakshay Vishnu. From your navel a small transcendental seed is generated, because Garbhodakshay Vishnu is separate from, but actually but a manifestation of, it's one entity, one supreme entity, manifesting for a different function. It is from the seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly like a banyan tree grows from a small seed. So now he's explaining, elucidating the example of the seed and the tree. As he gave the example before, the relationship between the supreme and the cosmic manifestation, which is temporary and filled with material varieties, what's that relationship? It's like the relationship between the seed and the tree, between the subtle and the gross manifestation. So there's the verses. What he's expressing here, he's giving another rendering of one of the Chatur Shloki verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what are the Chatur Shloki verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, that's what it is. How many verses are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000 verses. So if you wanted to take those 18,000 verses and then condense them and compress them and make them into four verses, it exists. In the Chatur Shloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam is found in Canto 2, Chapter 9. I think it's starting with text 31, 2, 3, and 4, something like that. So, the first one begins Aham Evasam Evagre. That's this Sanskrit. Aham Evasam Eva Asam Evagre. That's how it begins. In that that shloka, Lord Vishnu is explaining to Brahma a series of questions that Brahma, he's giving answers to some questions that Brahma asked before creation. And in that shloka, the Supreme Lord is saying that, my dear Brahma, before this material creation existed, before there was even the material energy to create with, at least in the manifest form, I alone existed. Then he says that not only I alone existed before creation, but now everything that you see is but a manifestation of me only. This is this emphasis on the abheda, or the non-different nature of the supreme energetic. And its relationship, it's energetic and the manifestation of the energetic. I alone exist. And what exists after the cosmic annihilation? I alone exist. That's the first. So Brahma wants to know, what's the relationship between you? His business is, he is the... We can say that the creator, but actually he's not a creator, he's an engineer. Some of you are engineers, right? Or in training to become engineers. So, Brahma is the number one professor of engineering. But engineers don't literally create, rather they take ingredients, they take a plan, they apply intelligence, which Krishna gives, to ingredients, which Krishna gives, for a purpose, which Krishna gives, and they put it together and make a living. But they don't create the plan, they don't create the intelligence, they don't create the ingredients. Krishna does those things, and engineers get the credit sometimes. So Brahma's the chief engineer, civil engineer, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, and all of, he's got all departments covered. but he, before he begin, this the relevance for us, it's interesting philosophy, but there's a very practical application. The relevance is, when he does his engineering business, what he wants is protection from the misconception of I'm doing it. So there's a very, very clear way to free yourself from that problem, and that's understanding who is doing it. I alone exist, and I alone exist, and I alone exist. Not only the living entities, but the superior and the inferior energy, those are the Advaita manifestations of the Supreme Lord. So although there's varieties in the manifest state, we're just taking, like Prabhupada explains, earth from one part of creation, you take water from another part of creation, you take fire from another part of creation, you make bricks. And you put that together in a certain pattern and you have a building. But where did you get the bricks? From those ingredients that the Lord supplied. Without those ingredients, no building. And where did you get the intelligence from? From the Supreme Lord. So he should get the credit. He's the proprietor. Once proprietorship is established, a lot of our problems are solved. For the servant, he's the proprietor. It's philosophy, but it's very practical. Then we can just go through life as servants instead of as would-be controllers, doing our best to control a little bit better and a little bit more in the whole material program of life. Just understand this teaching that Prabhupada is giving. It ushers one into the house of bhakti. So, aham evasam evagre. Now, what he's saying, so, therefore whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. All this is done by your external energy, through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Now, while that is true, there's an inseparable nature, or an inseparable relationship between energies and energetic. What else can we also say about this relationship? Very important thing we can say about it. We can say that although that's true, you remain aloof from the whole thing. You have your own separate existence, and you remain aloof from the whole thing. You never come directly in contact with this material energy. What does Krishna have to do? Do we ever see paintings of Krishna sitting in an office with his staff figuring out how to do the next stage of creation, maintenance, or destruction? No. He's in Goloka Vrindavan, engaging in his wonderful pastimes. Prabhupada gives the worldly example like a big industrialist. He may be off on the golf course, hitting a little stupid white ball here and there with a stick. And but it's on his energy that the whole factory is running. Different persons are doing and not doing different things. Gets out his cell phone and tells the guy, now, move 10 tons of stuff from here to there. Closes his cell phone, hits the little ball again. It's on the strength of his energy that these things are happening. So, as that worldly example is there, so there's the transcendental example of the supreme enjoyer Krishna who has his own existence. Now, I'm sure that some of the devotees here know the verse from the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that he maintains a separate existence, although everything does come from him. While at the same time, that's true, he has his own separate existence. Who knows that shloka from Bhagavad Gita? Natchaham. What's the rest? Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And the translation, or roughly?
By me, my unmanifested form, this whole universe is, I'm pervading.
The whole universe is expanding from me, and while this is true, everything rests in me, but I exist separately. Beyond it, beyond this material creation. So, and there's consistency, there's no surprise, between Srimad Bhagavatam's essence verses, that verse is, those first three, four verses of 9th chapter, they're summarizing Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy in Bhagavad Gita. And the Chatushloki verse is also presenting it, Prahlad is also presenting it here. So there's an inseparable, and yet you are aloof, relationship between the energies of the Lord and the energetic. Okay, so now he gives two examples. The seed and the tree, and the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. The relationship between the Lord and the creation are likened to those two examples. So I'm going to read just directly what Prabhupada writes to explain that. So listen very attentively, even the lights are out. Nobody please fall asleep. The example is given in this regard. Here's the Sanskrit. Vasu kalavad asti tarvaho. It's very easy to understand. Everything exists, so this is the time example first. Everything exists in time. Yet there are different phases of the time factor. Past, present, and future. Present, past, and future are one. They're different, but they're one. Now it's because they're phases of time, but time is time. So they're different. But they're one. Every day we can experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening. And although morning is different from noon, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord is separate from the time factor. Very nice example. Very simple. Easy to understand. Just as he says. Phases of time are variegated. This is the theme. They're variegated and yet they're one. And then the Lord, who manifests his Kala Shakti, the Shakti is not separate from the Lord, and yet it's separate from the Lord. It's not the energetic, it's the energy. So they're distinct. Everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time, but the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and no end. He is nitya, shashvata, eternal, permanent. Everything passes through time's phases, past, present, and future, yet the Lord is always the same. Thus, there is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. This is the summary statement. There is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation, but actually, they are not different. Accepting them to be different is called avidya, or ignorance. So that's the cause and effect relationship, or subtle cause and the gross effect. So now here's the true oneness defined. Prabhupada says, true oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of Mayavadis. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This statement, that is Vyasadeva's teaching. If you want to write it down. Of the energies of the Supreme Lord, and Lord Chaitanya's Achintya Bheda philosophy comes into play. What is the relationship between the energy and the energetic? Well, there's a simultaneous oneness and difference relationship. That's the definition Prabhupada is giving of the true sense of oneness. Everything is but a manifestation of the Lord's energy is being transformed. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties in its trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, fruits. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is therefore some Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. My dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties. Now here it is again. This is the true sense of oneness by Vaishnava conception. The varieties are one and at the same time different. So, say it one more time. The varieties, so let's take past, present, and future, there's variety. Or with a tree, there's branches, leaves, twigs, flowers, fruits, and so on. Variety. The varieties are real, and they're distinct from one another. The branch is not the fruit, is not the trunk. While the varieties are real, they're actually, it's one entity, it's a tree. Or past, present, and future, it's time. There's a oneness and difference between, amongst themselves, and then the source of the tree, which is a seed, it's subtle. So look at the seed and look at the tree. They're different, but yet they're not different, because the tree comes out of the seed. The tree is but a manifestation of the seed. But look at the seed, look at the tree, and tell me they're the same. They're different through the phases of time. And that's now the next thing that Madhvacharya is going to teach us. Listen carefully. In this regard, this is the bottom, very bottom of the page. Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a tree in fire. What's the difference? Both trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. That's the difference. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme is different from time. But we can also say, Kalosmi, and Krishna says, I am time. But I am time is his energy, which is non-different. So that's when Krishna says kalosmi in Bhagavad Gita, that's the abheda sense of the relationship between Krishna and his energies. You got that? I'll say it again. When Krishna says kalosmi, time I am, Krishna is emphasizing the inseparable, the abheda relationship between his energy, Kala Shakti, and him. One can also look at the other side. Well, there is a separate nature between energy and energetic. He's just emphasizing the oneness. The difference is also there. And through that agency of time, one tree is growing, another tree is burning. Events and variety in this world depends upon time. Without the time factor, we don't have existence in this material world. Therefore, when Mahavishnu glances, with the glance goes the time energy, because living entities can't do things without time. The whole show just doesn't go on. No show without time. So the energies of the Lord, they're required, and the time factor is also required, and the living entity is also required. The will of the Lord is also required. Nothing happens without that inseparable connection. And yet, Krishna's just enjoying with the cowherd boys and the gopis and the cows and playing on his flute and on the banks of the river Jamuna. He has his separate existence. And yet nothing is separate from him. There's the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. So, the conclusion of this purport, Prabhupada goes right into happiness and distress. So the living entity, we're in this created place that has duality, there's happiness and distress. But a devotee that has his consciousness connected with the Supreme, like Prahlad does, what's happiness and what's distress? It's illusion. Inconsequential humbug. And what's important? His relationship with the Supreme. And a person who, so Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Bhagavatam that says, one who carries that consciousness, he becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. Dayabhak is the Sanskrit. Just like if in Indian law, even today as far as I understand, the son, all you have to do is be born to a father. So pretty much that's everybody here. I don't think there's any exceptions. By law, you're the inheritor of the property of your father. Now there's probably, using the Western standard, you can make a will and will it to somebody besides your son. Or your father could write you out of your will because you became a Hare Krishna devotee or something. My father did something in between. What he did was, I became a devotee, and then he changed the will and said that my elder brother would be the executor of my portion of the estate, and he would have to monitor that I would use the money except for Krishna. And I was telling my brother, philosophically, what to speak of personally, even philosophically, it's not possible. Use it apart from Krishna. That doesn't exist. Tell me how you can use something apart from Krishna. What exists apart from Krishna? Tell me one thing we can use that money for that's apart from Krishna. Name it. Doesn't exist. My brother agreed. He said, anyway, so so Dhyabhak means if you carry that consciousness that whatever duality exists in this world, which there's plenty of, whatever diversity, duality, variety, that's not my source of happiness. It may bring material happiness, material distress, very cold, very hot, something like that. So distress, then it's happiness, then it's distress, then it's... From the material perspective, a devotee's happiness is not based on that. The devotee's happiness is based on loving relation with Krishna. One who has that, they become the lawful inheritor of the kingdom of God. That's how Prabhupada ends this. And that's what Prahlada's giving us this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy for, so that we can go back to Godhead by understanding the relationship of the varieties in this world with Krishna who is enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan. He has a whole system of how he brings this variety into play, but he remains separate from it at all times. Okay, so more on... Then he starts the next two verses. He starts introducing the three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Chirodakshay Vishnu. So you're looking at this form of Lord Nrisimhadev, half man, half lion. He starts talking about Karanadakshay Vishnu. But he doesn't, he knows it's Karanadakshay Vishnu is a manifestation of you. And for the purpose of creation. You don't engage yourself in the business of creation. You're enjoying in the spiritual world. But for those of us that have this material contamination, we want a little sandbox to play in. So you make this little sandbox, this material world, for us to go play in. And you do it through the agency of Karanadakshay Vishnu, who then expands himself as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then the example of the seed appears. And from the seed, the Lord Brahma is born, and the varieties within this universe are manifest. You're just playing with your energies through various expansions. And I'm going to read one purport from text 33, one paragraph in the purport, and we're done. It's the last paragraph. It starts about 10 lines up from the bottom of page 533. So, just above that, Prabhupada is explaining what are the three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu. They're actually one entity, but manifesting diversely for different parts of creation. But Krishna alone, he quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Matak Sarvam Pravartate. Everything spiritual and material manifests from me. So Garbhadakshay Vishnu also manifests, that spiritual and the material energy, that also manifests from Krishna. Then he summarizes, in this way, Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. The conclusion is that both the material world and the spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body, and therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. You go. This whole institute can become spiritualized by our collective Krishna conscious activities. And this is due to this focus. Again, the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva permits the realm of spirit to descend into this realm of matter and reconnect the separate, apparently separate matter again to the cause of its existence through the very wonderful medium of bhakti. We have a very strong, cogent philosophy to support this activity of devotional service. The execution of devotional service is very simple. Chant and dance, philosophy, take prasad. Come back the next day. Like I began in the beginning of the class, the activities are very simple. We may take them as ordinary, but there's so much spiritual potency in them. Prahlad is showing us. He's proving it. He's experiencing it. He's telling the Lord with all confidence and conviction and conclusive statements. It's true. Although apparently very simple, there is spiritual potency behind it. Within the rendering of devotional service. And there's a philosophy that makes it clear why it is so. So just one more time, just to repeat what we did with the paragraph I just read. The Shakti Parinam Vad, the theory or doctrine, Vada means doctrine or theory, of the Lord's energies are this. Everything that exists is but a transformation, parinama, of the energies of the Supreme Lord. That doctrine, or that teaching, means that this manifest realm, even just take it in its part, the body is but a manifestation of our fundamental spiritual existence. It would not manifest were there not a spirit soul. When the desires of the soul are misdirected, material bodies manifest. When the desires of the soul are consolidated, again, upon the Supreme, it's spiritual. At first, it spiritualizes this material body, and ultimately it dissolves the material body. It dissolves the subtle body that carries the soul to the next material body, gross body. Lord Kapila says this to Devahuti. It is by this process of bhakti alone that the mind is dissolved. That means the process of repeated birth and death is finished by the bhakti process. So he's just a little boy, but he's a great philosopher. And he's able to say it very succinctly, and it's 7:30. But I'm under the wire, I did it. So those that have to go to class and do the things you have to do this morning can go ahead and do that. The rest of us can remain and we'll have some questions.
If someone can contact him and ask him to phone me after 8:15 if you're able. Ask him to phone me after 8:15.
Okay, so we can't take too long for questions. Yesterday went for 45 minutes, but we can't do that today. See if there's any questions you'd like to raise. Some points for discussion.
By the example of seed and the tree, and the cause and the gross manifestation, Radha was explaining Achintya Bheda and Amita Prasiddha.
Yes.
So my understanding, whether it is clear or not, that if we see a tree, branches and leaves, all are these are variety.
That's right.
When we see as a whole, it is a whole tree.
Yeah.
It is the same thing.
Yeah.
And then we connect it to some cause.
Yes.
So because it has come from the seed,
yeah,
it is the same thing.
That's right.
And how Madhvacharya philosophy, that is of the emphasis on the Veda principle, distinction.
How does what now?
Now, we are also seeing the Madhvacharya's philosophy.
Yeah.
So
he is emphasizing Madhvacharya, for the purpose of defeating Mayavad philosophy, was emphasizing one side deliberately. Differences. Oneness. Differences. Emphasis on differences. It wasn't so much denying Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference. He was just strongly defeating Mayavad philosophy. Differences.
What were the examples which he was taking to explain this?
Many examples. His whole teaching is filled with examples. In this particular presentation, in this purport, he's giving the example of the time factor is making the difference between the tree that's growing and the tree that's on fire, burning. It's only the time factor. So while there are these differences, they're all connected to the Supreme. After all, he is a Vaishnava. Okay? Yes.
That means as far as the others who don't have this conception, they really can't engage in bhakti at all.
They can engage in bhakti. They can engage in bhakti. They do engage in bhakti, but the philosophical support for that isn't as complete as it is with the achintya ved abed tattva. I mean, it would take some time to lay all that out.
I was particularly talking about the jnanis and the yogis who have this.
Oh, as far as other Vaishnavas who don't have achintya veda veda tattva philosophy, but they have shuddha dvaita and dvaita dvaita and vishishta dvaita and other Vaishnava teachings. Ultimately, those other Vaishnava teachings are resting upon the conclusion that there is a supreme primal entity, supreme energetic, who manifests various. So the relation, the details of that understanding of the relationship between energies and energetic are somewhat different. But yes, those who are jnanis, they do not accept that primal entity who exists as the cause of the various energies. They have another idea, but they're of different varieties. If they were to accept those conclusions that are Vaishnava teachings, the energy and energetic relationship, then they'd be Vaishnavas, not jnanis.
So for them, the only real alternative is to give up this world because they really don't see the connectivity.
Yeah. That's their ultimate. You say the only alternative. They can go on speculating in the world, but then that would be their activity. That's like Professor Durkheim. Knowledge for knowledge's sake. But if you want to take it to its conclusion, then there is no meaning, and you end up with existentialism or Nietzsche philosophy. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't matter. So you might as well just annihilate everything. And there's different varieties in that realm. But moksha, just ending it. Yeah. Yes.
You said that everything is burden directly or indirectly in the explanation of Supreme Lord.
I said what earlier?
Everything is in expansion of Supreme Lord.
Who is in expansion?
Everything that is.
Everything, okay. Everything is in expansion, okay.
Supreme Lord. So my question is that way, is it that one has to keep different regard for different things, or just as a matter of devotional duty, one has to, I mean, one keep different relationship, like whatever entities they are, but the regard one keeps, because it is coming from Supreme Lord, one keeps regard for these things, one keeps on the same level.
Not exactly same regard as seeing everything on the same level, because if that were our position, that would be somewhat impersonal. So go back to the first one. The position of a devotee, a Vaishnava, is to respect everything, because it's a manifestation of the Lord's energy. While we're respecting, we're certainly recognizing differences. Let's just say amongst the Purusha avatars, because that's mentioned in this verse, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, there's a non-different relationship between the super soul and the original personality of Godhead. Vataksmatir gyanamaha pohanamcha. Krishna, that super soul, is giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgiveness. Everything is emanating, flowing. Manifestation of Krishna. So, ultimate respect. While there's ultimate respect, there's still diversity. That super soul is not the original personality of Godhead. So we're seeing some distinction, even in the spiritual absolute realm. And then in this material realm, there's different living entities. Just take, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. They're all parts of the body of society. So we respect them all. While that's true, the head department is the most important department. And so special deference goes there to the qualified, those who actually have the quality of Brahmana. Special regard. While respect for all. And etc. So there's a simultaneous oneness and difference in terms of how we regard all the manifestations of the Supreme Lord. And we can learn that philosophically by study, and we can see it in example of advanced or elevated realized souls, and we can perform our activity as best as possible according to that example, according to those teachings. And of course, in time, it becomes perfectly natural. Okay. Yes?
This proprietorship that was mentioned.
In which that was mentioned?
Proprietorship.
Proprietorship, okay.
But one can understand that the basic ingredients and intelligence are coming, not one doesn't own them, so surely one is not the proprietorship.
Right.
And the levels of understanding.
Sure. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Just like whatever you might be understanding just now, is that the same as Prahlad's understanding? Is your level of understanding equal to that of Prahlad? You're understanding something. But the levels of understanding, you could say levels of realization. And that is a, he's already stated it, it's a function of one's surrender and service to the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.